Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, this is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I think we study fourth down a whole lot more than maybe we did in the past. That is very accurate. And, really it's anywhere on the field. Before, if it was fourth and two on the 35-yard line, the defense was already running off the field. Now you got to kind of pause and wait because teams are going for it, you know, because it really is about possessions. You know, how many possessions? That's one thing we look at defensively. How many possessions did our offense have? And you'd like to get it in the 12, 13 possessions in that race. There's a couple games I looked at. I think it was a Chicago game. Our offense only had 10 possessions. And we looked at that and said, boy, we've got to find a way to steal possessions. And that's what offenses are doing now. They're going on fourth down to try to almost gain another possession. And we have to be alert for that and know the team that we're going against. And, you know, if they're going to be that aggressive, you know, we've got to find ways to get them off the field.
It's all in the numbers, Lincoln, and the numbers have forced and made or opened people's eyes to change, and that includes NFL head coaches on going for it and fourth down. And, you know, when I started seeing that trend, Lincoln, I would play my son in Madden, right? Okay. And he would just go for it on every fourth down. And I used to get mad at him because a lot of times he would end up completing the play and getting the first down. I'm like, teams don't do that. Let's play real football here and not just go for it on every fourth down. Well, it's getting to the point now, Lincoln, where it's becoming more and more an acceptable part of the game and the game plan to go for it on fourth downs.
Well, you know what? There are some aggressive coaches, and I've seen a lot of it in both college and pro. There are times where I think you have to play the percentages. More importantly, there are times where I say, you know, you gotta let your drop and go for it every now and then, depending on the team that you're playing. Because a lot of times you'll get in situations where you won't get the ball back, or somebody will go up once you punt it away. You can't stop them. So I think you have to take that in consideration. But you always have to have a plan. And what I appreciate most, and we've seen a lot of third down the shorts and fourth down the shorts fail the Raiders this year. But what I did appreciate most is that I saw them had a plan. They utilized it in Denver. I mean, look, everyone knows Jalen Richard's coming in. He's the best back at picking up the blitz to help protection, right? So he comes in the Denver game, and the first couple of times he's picking up the blitz, he's doing just that. And then, you know, then one time in the third and short, they slip him out of the backfield, and he's got a step or two on the linebacker. He's able to get the first down. That's creative to me.
Yeah.
You got to have a plan. What I don't want to see, and you already know this is probably not going to happen. I mean, the fact that Derek doesn't need to do his own read.
Right. Exactly.
You can't be as obvious as when Mariota or Peterman comes in a game that's what you're going to do. He also doesn't need to do a quarterback sneak because we saw him almost get decapitated on that as well. So it's too big of a risk to do plays like that. But you got to have a plan in place.
You do, and you know you're right. There are coaches. I think these younger coaches that are maybe a little bit more in tune with the analytics and open to it, I should say, because in some quarters there's always resistance to change, especially when it's asking you or telling you to do something that traditionally and historically just wasn't really accepted. Third, fourth down, punt it, play field goal position, hope your defense gets a stop, get the ball back. But there's a change now going on. But I'll say this, Lincoln, I'm almost predicting that a team is going to lose a playoff game, a huge game, because of a decision to go for it maybe on fourth down in their own end of the field. And it's going to force everyone then to look at it again a little bit differently. Like, you're seeing that now where teams are on their, you know, 28-yard line, 34-yard line on a fourth and one and going for it. You never saw that ever back in the day. But now you're starting to see it. And right now it's just the regular season, so there's a curiosity level to it, and you're wondering, is it going to work? Did it work? Will it work? Did it backfire? All those things. But it takes on a more pronounced feeling and reality if somebody decides to do that in a must-have playoff game and it backfires on them.
Well, excuse me.
You okay?
Okay, yeah, just had to sneeze.
Okay.
I'm not a big analytical person. I'm not a big one who pays a lot of attention to analytics. I go off of feel. There are times where I think the momentum is in your favor. If you have a good drive and you know, there are things, you know, you'll talk about four down territory or trying to, you know, run that clock out. And that to me is just smart football. That's where you feel. That to me is what a head coach's responsibility is. You know what I mean? To gauge whether or not he thinks his team has enough momentum to get the first down. Obviously you go for it when you need it, but sometimes you want to kill the clock. You don't want to give the ball back and you'll have that four down territory. So I go off of feel more so than anything, but I can honestly say the way that AJ Cole has been turning over the field, the way he's been punting, it's not a bad idea to punt. you know what I mean?
That's a huge point.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. So if you have that advantage and you have that at your disposal, you definitely have that. But I mean, I go off of feel.
Yeah, and what was interesting about that question, we heard the answer. We didn't hear the question. It was Adam Hill, my colleague over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and what he was asking Gus Bradley, the Raiders' defensive coordinator, who was speaking right there, was, does it change how you approach a fourth down? Because typically, historically, Lincoln, what you would do is this is the line to get. I don't care if we give them 1 yard ahead of this line. That's the goal. Make sure that they don't get to this line, even if it's a foot before that line. Because traditionally, historically, when teams face a fourth and one, short of, you know, the clock is running out or, you know, I'm just talking in typical situation throughout the course of a game. Fourth and one, you know, in the middle of a game, you punt it and play that percentage game. But now, with more and more teams going for it on fourth down, it forces you as a defensive coordinator. That's what Gus was talking about, is it's not just about defending the yard to get anymore, the line to get anymore. It's like now it's like got to keep them 4 yards short of the that yard to get, because they're liable to go for it on fourth down. So it does, from a practical and a coaching standpoint, it changes how you have to defend now too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And more so on the offensive side, that's why it's actually absolutely key to get positive yards on first down, because some of those fourth down and shorts, if you will, are more, obviously they're more manageable than fourth and long. You probably won't go for it, but you know, to have that, and you can always take a shot. I mean, you can always do something that you think the defense isn't suspecting. If you're playing tight, I mean, you can take a shot. You just have to make it work.
Yep, absolutely. Out to the Raider Nation listener line, Raider 27 is on the line. How you doing, Raider 27?
Hey, Link and Vinny, you guys are too interesting today.
I don't know what thank you.
Talk about. I was interested in Link's comments he made on Twitter this morning about Raider Nation showing up at the stadium. Totally agree with that. I was at the Bears game. I wish I had made it to the Rock Zone, but we just ran out of time. We just couldn't make it over there before we thought you guys would be gone. But anyway, here's the thing. When I was a season ticket, I think the last year the Raiders were in Las Vegas or in Los Angeles was 1993. My seats were halfway up the stadium on the 23-yard line, and they cost $33 a seat. Now, I think the tickets that I just went to were right, literally right underneath one of the big scoreboards on the towards the end of the field. We were the last row, and they were great seats. I mean, I'm not complaining, but they were $127 a seat face value. So I think, you know, because of the PSLs and the economy of it, I think a lot of these people are selling their seats so that they can afford to go to a few games. We're back when I had my seats. It was pretty easy for – I was just a regular guy that worked, and I made decent money, but I wasn't wealthy. But, you know, I could afford to go to the games. Now I think it's a little bit harder for people to do that. They have to sell some of those seats. And it's not just Las Vegas. It's not just San Diego. I guess I read on Twitter the Titans-Buffalo game was 50-50, and you can hear it on TV. Almost every stadium in the league has a lot of visiting fans. There's going to be a lot of people come to Vegas because they want to come to Vegas. I mean, it was really cool, man. I mean, it was a blast. And we saw just hundreds of Raider fans from other places in the hotels. We stayed in the Tropicana, but we were in the Luxor and the Mandalay Bay, also just kind of cruising around. And there were Raider fans that had traveled from everywhere. And, you know, coming to the stadium was almost like coming to Mecca. You're talking to people outside the stadium, and we're getting emotional. You know, it's just like we're almost sitting here with a bunch of guys crying because we have our own home. Look at our beautiful stadium. It's all ours. Then a bunch of Bears people are going by, man, that's a really nice stadium. We're going, yeah, it is. It's great. You know,
so, absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. I think it's league-wide. I think it's going to happen to everybody. And I think you and Lincoln are absolutely right. It's the Raiders' job to give us something to cheer for.
Yeah.
You know, get absolutely. Out there and stomp a mud hole in their rear end, and you'll hear us.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Raider 27. You're spot on. And Lincoln, we're also dealing with a new – it's a new world. People, it's a much more mobile world. When we were kids, the thought of taking a road trip to go see, you know, whoever, the Dodgers, or let's say, or whoever, it didn't really dawn on us, you know, when we were little right. kids, like with my mom and dad, and all our friends and everything like that. You know, when you want to go see a game, and for us, Lincoln, you know, we weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination, which is why, you know, my dad would come to us every year, and we go to one Dodger game. We'll try to get to a Rams game when the Raiders were in town, you know, maybe one Raider game. But that was it. Like, you had to make hard choices. And the thought of traveling was just – that wasn't even part of anything right. that we were thinking. Nowadays, Lincoln, you travel. I travel. When you're in the airport, how many jerseys do you see?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Football is a great time of year. I mean, and that's why it's so popular and so loved. I was once – and still am of this mindset. I think that the NFL has outpriced the common fan. When you look at some of the ticket prices – I can't imagine what you're talking about, PSLs or whatever it is, some of the prices that I've heard. I mean, we're talking about the price of a car to go season tickets to the game. So I get it. I really do. And I understand it. I think that because the NFL is so big, and the reason why these stadiums are so important is because obviously that they want the premier games. They want the Super Bowls. They want, you know, the big time college football games, and they want suites because they want to be corporate. Because they can have an ounce for an absorbent price for a group of people, group of 20 and stuff like that. And so I see it. I see it firsthand, and I understand. I get it. It's like one of these things. The first year, like I was saying, the first year that the fans have been back or had a chance to go to Allegiant, it was beautiful. The Monday night game against the Ravens, beautiful. Seeing Sunday, beautiful. I mean, even with the Bear fans sprinkled, and you knew they were going to be because they're a well-traveled team as well, fan base, you knew they were going to be there. People were planning trips to Vegas. I saw it getting on the plane Friday just to come to Vegas and hang out. And, oh, by the way, while we're here, why don't we see a game? So
right.
I get it. Do what you do. Make yourself comfortable. Hey, it's your money. I'm not telling you how to spend it. I really want people to around the country, when they get a chance to see Allegiant, I don't care who you're cheering for, but get a chance to see Allegiant, to know and respect that it's the home of the Raider Nation.
Yeah, and I think that's going to – I do think that'll settle down, as I was mentioning earlier. I think, you know, you're always going to have some fans of teams. Just like when the Raiders go on the road, there's always Raider fans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, at stadiums, we see them all the time. I see them on my planes, everywhere at the airport, et cetera, et cetera. But to put it, you know, things in perspective on how things have really changed in a lot of different ways, when SoFi Stadium got to a point where, okay, it's time to start really selling the tickets – you know, they had a, there was a package for us, I think it was 20, let's just say 20 suites, right? That was, I want to say $1 million a year with a 25 to 30 year commitment. So in order to buy that suite, you had to make a 25 to 30 year commitment at $1 million a year. And I was like, yeah. you know, I'm being explained to this. And I'm like, whoa. And they're like, yeah, it sold out like in 2 days because they, you know, the market in Los Angeles, and I'm sure it was Paramount Studios and, you know, all the big studios were buying them up, and there's no shortage. And you go to some of these cities and the business, whatever the prevailing business might be, or whatever drives whatever the economy you're talking about, those are the people that buy those, you know, to wine and dine and to have fun. But those are the first ones to sell out, Lincoln, because people look at these things not just as fans anymore, too. I mean, yes, you have the fan aspect of it in these suites, but that becomes a vehicle to sell more whatever they're trying to sell to make deals. That business is being talked about in some of those suites. So it's just like this very weird dynamic what sports has become above and beyond just an experience where fans can come and enjoy a game.
That's why the effort has been going in to build these conglomerate, these modern coliseums. I mean, there are attractions within themselves.
Exactly.
I mean, just imagine how much business the Raider Image Store gets being at right there at Allegiant.
Absolutely. You know,
since they've opened up, every time I've been in there, I've just seen tours after tours. I mean, people were coming from all over the country, all over the world to some extent, to be there. And much to the suites, you know, you can imagine if you're Caesars or the Wynn, you know, how nice it would be to have some of your big high rollers. Oh, you got, you know, you earned two tickets to the Raiders game and sit in our suite.
Exactly. There's business deals being made up there in between Daniel Carlson kicking a 52-yard field goal and Derek Carr doing his things. There's business deals. I used to see it all the time at Staples Center. You know, that's the Hollywood scene would be there. Oh, yeah. And they're not just there to watch a game. They're doing business as well. What a great place to do it while watching, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers lose to the – who'd they lose to? Oh, the Golden State Warriors on
Golden State. It's okay. It's one game.
Yeah, of course. It's going to take him a little time. Russ needs to be Russ. He was placating a little bit too much. I understand it, you know, but he just needs to be Russell Westbrook. Do your thing. It'll be fine. LeBron understands. Anthony understands. So need him to be Russell Westbrook. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Robert is in Portland. How you doing, Robert?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, the Eagles, you know, I study them a lot, and their offensive line now, it's back together. For the first time in 2 years, Lance Johnson's back, and, you know, they have two other All-Pros in Kelce and Brooks. What do you think? Do you think this is going to be actually a running game for them? No, this will be the first time they had all those three of those guys back. I mean, they haven't run the ball hardly at all, other than Hurts, but I think Sanders is on the hot seat, Miles Sanders, to start running. And I just think that with Hankins out, I think we're going to see that Philly do some things different this week. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to try to run the ball against the Raiders, Lincoln, because if you become a one-dimensional team against this defensive line, and I'm still like almost not shocked, but it's still weird for me to say this against this Raiders defensive line because it is so good after seeing some very bad defensive lines here the last couple of years. But this is a good defensive line. And if you become one dimensional against it with what Gus Bradley is doing, and some of the things that he's dialing up, and the great pressure that Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue and Quentin Jefferson and Solomon Thomas, all these guys are getting, it could be a long day for Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure out a way to run the ball against the Raiders.
Yeah. Where's that ambient noise come from? You guys hear that?
I did, but now I don't.
I don't know what. Okay. All right. No, look, you always want to establish a run, and there's no doubt about it. And when you look at the way the Raiders got off to a fast start last week, the last thing you want to do is put the ball in the offenses. You want to try to control clock. That's a normal strategy. So, the fact that they've got some pieces that are coming together, it still means that they're dangerous. We've seen when they've tried to just back up and throw the ball all the time, how they're not as successful, but they have been doing some good things the last couple of games I've seen. They've been able to score some points. So that's always something you have to be mindful of.
By the way, if you're in town in Las Vegas on Saturday, or if you live here, where else do you want to be on Saturday at 5 p.m. than the Rockstar Bar and Grill over on Las Vegas Boulevard, right across the street from Town Square, over by the golf course over there, the driving range over there. We're going to be there. Q Myers and myself, some of my friends from Vegas Nation, some of our colleagues here at Raider Nation Radio, from 5 to whenever. It's the go-to place, Rockstar Bar and Grill is, before every home game for the Raiders. We're going to have live music, great food, great drinks, and just a lot of opportunity, a great opportunity to meet everybody and to talk Raider football, talk NFL, talk life. It's a lot of fun. Damon Cotton has said that he will make another appearance because his first appearance was so successful and so invigorating. So he's going to be back.
Free drinks.
Of course, because yes. Did you take a bottle of Embajador? There was a bottle of Embajador tequila missing, Link or Devon. Did you? I heard you clanking when you were. No,
man,
I'm just kidding.
I wish.
We'll hook you up. We'll get you. We got you covered. But anyway, if you're in town, if you live here, if you're traveling here, Raider Nation, NFL fans, whatever the case might be, it's turned out to be a great event. We do it the night before every Raider home game, Rockstar Bar and Grill, 5 o'clock. So be there or be square on Saturday before they play. The Raiders play the Philadelphia Eagles. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line, and hold on 1 second. Who are we going to? I got it right here. Mike is in Chicago. How you doing, Mike?
Hey guys, good afternoon for you guys. Right. I really have a good feeling about this team this year. I think it's going to be a different ending. Hopefully I'm right, because I've been a Raider fan for a long time. I've seen stuff go sideways. I want to ask you, Vinny, what impressions are you getting? I think this press conference today was good, especially what Solomon Thomas talked about. That was just – that's unheard of for a football player to make that presentation the way he did at the press conference today. The head coach, how do you think these guys are presenting themselves in the press conference? Because I think Bradley is like a college professor compared to the previous defensive coordinator. I'm sorry. That's just how I see it.
All good.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just see this – I mean, Link, I think this team, and Link, you've been around Raiders for a long time, bro. I think this team is trending upward. I'll just listen to your answer.
Yeah, go ahead, Lincoln.
Well, I definitely agree they're trending upward. And look, as you mentioned, Vinny, earlier this week in the shows that, you know, the offensive line collectively probably had its best outing.
Right.
Dealing with the circumstances and the changes. Now, they're still, by no means are they perfect, but they're getting better. And I think that builds confidence. The runs that they did, the things like the screen and stuff like that opened up the offense, made it a little bit, you know, more harder to predict to where they're going to go with the football. I thought Josh Jacobs got a little momentum going, and that's all good and well for moving forward. And as you mentioned, after the bye, and once they take care of this game, then the bye, they get a chance to probably get even more healthy. But the great thing about it, if they win this game, they'll take a lot of momentum into that bye. And then the first game back, you have to go on the road, obviously, to play the Giants, which is another winnable game. But you know, they're moving in the right direction right now. We saw some good things in lieu of all the off-field distractions and everything that happened. Saw some good things in their win over Denver, and I think they can build on that. So I think they are headed in the right way.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, before I forget, shout out to Solomon Thomas for everything he's doing for a tremendous, tremendous cause. He's donating a lot of money per sack for the rest of the year. I think he backloaded it to include the sacks that he already has. To fight and to help prevention of suicide and mental health awareness. And, you know, in talking to Solomon about this, he's been on the radio show with us before. I've talked to him about it. You know, it's so important, Lincoln, because, you know, in years past, and really only up until recently, Lincoln, talking about mental health and, hey, I'm not all right, you know, and I need to talk to somebody about it. That was like taboo for all of us, especially males. I'm just, you know, it's just the way we are, because it's a weakness, you know, quote unquote, but it's not. Strength comes from being able to talk about it, Lincoln, and not just talk about it. It has to be heard as well. So there has to be a willing listener, and not somebody saying, hey, suck it up, deal with it, you know, don't talk about those things, you got to be tough. Those days are over, and I think we're learning more and more that being able to talk about it and express yourself about it is a good thing, and people need to start taking advantage of it. And I'm really proud of guys like Solomon Thomas and others. Kevin Love has stepped up. We saw Dak Prescott talking about it, and you know he's wearing things on his uniform to bring awareness to it. I think it's a beautiful thing, and more importantly, Lincoln, it's an important thing that we need to get over that stigma of you're a weak person because you're not feeling okay. No, you're not at all. You can't look at it like that.
Yeah, and I totally agree. All well said, Vinny. I personally know that, you know, mental health is important because for a long time in my career, I used to use football as a stress reliever.
Right.
And then I didn't realize until the tail end of my career when my body was beat up that how much I did internalize and how helpful it was to talk things out. You can't keep holding on to that because eventually you're going to pop. So mental health is important for everyone. And if you got to find somebody to talk to, you got to find some way of getting it out. Whether it's all the things I do is talk to people, also write in the journal, you know, and I try to do the same thing with my kids, especially just everyday life. I'm like, if there's anything you need to talk about, you're bothered by, you say something. And, you know, Scott Touche, one of the trainers, told me a long time ago, stuck with me. It was like, you know, pain is not an indicator of being weak. Pain is an indicator of something's wrong.
Exactly.
So if you don't feel good, you got to just, you got to do say something about it. Closed mouth don't get fed.
Yeah. And, you know, getting back to Mike at Chicago's kind of original intent about or the direction that he was going in terms of a different ending for this team. I think it's going to, I think this year more than any, it's going to come down to talent. You know, I think the Raiders are a good team. And I think that they're going to be there at the end. I think they're going to find their way into playoff contention, whether they make it or get down to the last week of the season. I believe that they're going to be in contention. And I feel like this team, in a lot of ways, the guys that have been here for a few years, has sort of grown up. I've seen it. I've seen that. And Lincoln, I know you've been a part of teams that were young, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you weren't.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
But where it started out young, and it didn't necessarily always go the right way when you're young. And sometimes that youth and inexperience has a lot to do with that, the outcome and the direction that it goes in. But somewhere along the line, especially if guys stay together, and kind of grow up together, like a lot of this Raider team is, you get to a point where you're grown up and able to deal with things much, much better than you were, earlier in your career. And then you add and sprinkle in guys like Denzel Perryman and Casey Hayward and KJ Wright and Yannick Ngakoue and guys like that are established in that regard to join, you know, a Derek Carr. And now all of a sudden you have what I believe, and I've felt this for a while now, a mentally strong team. And I think, Lincoln, that makes a difference. We're going to talk about it a little bit more on the other end, but I have to believe, Lincoln, that makes a difference.
Well, it does, and we'll talk about it on the other side because we're up against it.
Absolutely. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
You know, that position more than any other position, the offensive line, where five guys are working together. You may have an injury at running back or wide receiver, tight end, one of those positions. But where you have five guys communicating and having the continuity of playing together, then it's big. So you certainly can't avoid the injury bug, but those teams that have less injuries in the offensive line seem to play better on offense. So we can stay healthy and we keep those five guys playing together, you know, things should be better.
That's Raiders offensive coordinator Greg Olsen talking about the offensive line and the continuity that they're striving for it right now. I had asked him about how important it is for this particular group of five players, Lincoln, to just get time together and develop together and develop that cohesion and that chemistry. And Lincoln, you know, as I was asking that question, I was remembering a question that I had gotten on Twitter, and I've gotten this same exact question more than a few times, and it was, you know, will the Raiders bench Andre James and, you know, give somebody else a chance at center? And Lincoln, my feeling on this, not just my feeling, but, you know, tapping in and out of the of people within the know, Lincoln, I just think that he needs more time. I think the best thing for him is playing time. That's how you get better. That's how you develop. I think the last thing he needs right now is to go sit on the bench, because that's not going to do anything for his development. The Raiders understood, Lincoln, that there was going to be a learning curve for Andre James. It was bound to happen. He was making his first start, you know, as the starter, his first turn as the starter at center. It was going to take a little bit of time. They understood that, and they were okay with that. It also didn't help, and we've talked about this, Lincoln, that Richie Incognito hasn't played one snap, and Denzel Good was lost for the season in the first half of the season opener. That really, you know, made a what was already a challenge an even harder challenge. But I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one. I think you keep running Andre James out there in the hope that he's going to be exactly what they envisioned him to be.
Well, and I agree with you. I honestly think that, you know, you're talking about a guy who played, who didn't play center in college at UCLA. He's in his third year. Now you've got him playing center. And look, I know he's up to the challenge. Cable believes in him, so I'm going to trust his thought process, his strategy, if you will. But I've seen some progression. I think I've always believed that there are two positions that need as many snaps as possible. And two position groups. Well, one of them is quarterback, and the other one's offensive line. Collectively, an offensive line, not individual. Collectively, an offensive line. You have to learn how the other one's going to play, and you have to learn how you're going to do it in full speed. And because practice isn't what it used to be, you know, it's really hard to generate that, especially unless you're going up against other teams, but you're not doing that in a regular season. So as long as no one's getting hurt, as long as you don't see every game, you know, Andre's getting beaten, he's giving hits up on the quarterback or something like that, no, you don't need to make a change. You just need to, you know, coach him up, correct him, and see how he performs the next time. If he becomes ineffective, well, even if you put in somebody else, you're going to disrupt the continuity of that offensive line. It's going to take more time to gel. And they've already come through so many circumstances where it's affected the flow of the game and the offensive line. Now that you got a little momentum, why would you blow it up?
Right, exactly. And the other part of it is, to me anyway, why have a plan if you're just going to abandon the plan? Now, it's one thing if, like you said, guys are getting hurt, he's getting blown up on every play. It's just a complete disaster. I don't see it as being a disaster. I see it as being kind of what was, I wouldn't say expected, but it was a possibility that it was going to be a little bit of a struggle. And again, you compound it with the injuries to his right and to his left. That didn't help at all. And you have to account for that. So when you have this plan, you have to stick to the plan, at least, again, short of a catastrophe. I haven't seen that be the case, Lincoln.
It's guiding, you know, you talk about the last performance, and we're always going off of our last performance, probably the most solid performance that the offensive line had collectively. Yep. I do believe a lot of it has to go, confidence is built by scheme, doing plays that you know can work and showing their effectiveness when they, you know, in a game time situation. That's how you build confidence. The more confidence you take on the field, the lesser a chore it becomes, the more fun you're having, and the more enjoyable it becomes.
Well, I was just going to get to that. You know, when you sprung open a Kenyon Drake on an 18-yard touchdown run, or you gave your quarterback enough time to complete that wheel route to Kenyon Drake for a really cool-looking 33-yard touchdown and an important touchdown, or the touchdown throw to Henry Ruggs, when you start seeing that and experiencing that as an offensive lineman, and the reality is it all started up front, because none of that happens without you guys doing your job. How much does that boost the confidence when you're experiencing those type of plays in one game like they did against the Denver Broncos to kind of get your head where it needs to be in terms of, you know, this is working. We're getting it. We're getting there. Look, you know, and I played a big role in that right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, look, I think I saw John Simpson fist bump a couple times during that game. I don't remember seeing him do that at all anytime this season, even when they were winning. So, you know, the way they closed out and the way they finished up, you know, you saw the confidence building. You saw the excitement. When you break open runs like that, and you do a great job and you put that many points on the board, oh, it's going to feel good, especially when you're in a visiting stadium and especially when it's a divisional opponent. It feels good. And that's what you want to see. That's the success I want to see out of these guys coming together, because yes, there's still stuff that we need to clean up, but at the same point for right now, you know, Brandon Parker did a pretty good, solid job against Khalil Mack. I mean, not Khalil Mack, Von Miller. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I was concerned about that. Right. But they also set him up to where, they had the chip in place. They had the extra protection in place. And the passing game was not really hurt by it. It was still effective because the coaches figured out a strategy the way the Broncos were playing. And they took advantage of it. And there was also some times where the receivers made some good catches, which you have to do.
Rewatching that game, Lincoln, and you know, specifically watching Brandon Parker and Alex Leatherwood, what I noticed about Brandon Parker, and I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at that game again, but he was on pass protections, he was firing out, and you know, it's the backward move, because you know you're kind of not retreating, but you're backing up in a building a wall type of a position. But his movements were like right on the ball. He was getting into his technique and into his position really, really fast. What's been your, especially last week, kind of assessment of where Brandon is right now?
Well, look, you know, you and I have talked extensively about Brandon Parker, and I said that I was only worried about his consistency. I know that he's capable of doing it, but here's the thing. When you're playing against guys like that, the Von Millers and the Khalil Macks, you don't want to create space. You don't want more space between you and the quarterback, because it gives them a two-way go. It gives them the fact that they can spin or something like that, come inside or out. So using the chip and being able to close down that space allows you to get your hands on them quicker. And more importantly, you know that if you have a chip coming in the back, you play inside out. Those are just things that you learn from experience. This is Brandon's opportunity. He's been in the league for 4 years. You know, it's probably going to be a question of his future, but if he wants to make it his best opportunity right now, he's got to take full advantage of the opportunity before him. So I thought he played pretty strongly, and he's played pretty strongly the last couple of games that he's been in there.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the year, the Raiders will have a pretty good idea of, you know, is he somebody to move forward with or not. I think, and I'm, you know, this is kind of an educated guess, but I think Alex Leatherwood by the end of the year is going to have – I just have this feeling that he's going to have accounted himself pretty darn well at right tackle. When it's all said and done, it's going to look okay. And my question to you is, if it does, what is your thoughts about just leave him at right guard and then maybe go get a – if let's say Brandon Parker, you know, if that's a move on from situation and his contract is running out at the end of this year, so that'll play into it. But if they do move on from Brandon Parker, what's your thought process in terms of, do you move Alex back to right tackle, or do you go get a right tackle maybe in the draft or in free agency?
The good thing about playing guard is it allows you to get the speed of the game to get adequate or get familiar with the speed of the game and still be out in the football field and show how you can be productive. I played guard my first year with Atlanta, and I felt the exact same way. I'm getting out there. I'm getting familiar with the speed of the game, catching on, and then, you know, moving to the natural tackle spot or out to the tackle spot after that. But I will say this, you know, Alex, from my standpoint, Alex still needs to cut down on how he does his pass pro because he leaves his arms out there. You can do that when you're playing a guard, because it's much like fighting in a phone booth. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tight space. You can't necessarily do that on tackles because there is too much space. And those guys like Mad Max will knock those arms down, or in Ngakoue, if you watch those guys, they'll knock those arms down. So you can't leave them out there. You got to learn how to be a counter puncher, if you will, but you can leave them in at guard. Now, the whole thing about Brandon Parker, I will say this, careful what you wish for, because finding a good swing tackle, a guy who can play either left or right, is very difficult. So you're not going to pay him top dollar, top tackle dollar, but you might try to convince him, hey, this is your best opportunity to stay with the team, and we can have you as that swing tackle if you're not the starting right tackle. But you definitely need to figure out what's going on at the guard position if you're going to bring Denzel Good back. I mean, there's a lot of things you got to figure out when it comes to this offensive line. But for right now, it's good that they leave things in place and let them play.
When we get back, before we get out of here, I want to ask you about DJ Fluker, who the Raiders signed yesterday. I think that's an intriguing signing, especially if you could get healthy and get your keys to the game. But before we do go to break, I just want to let everybody know that, you know, you can go get your Demon Rum shipped directly to you. Just go to drinkdemonrum.com. The more you buy, the better the deal. And now, for being a fan, you can get 10% off your total order. Enter DemonVinny10 in the coupon code. That's DemonVinny10 at drinkdemonrum.com. On the other side, we'll get into a little bit of DJ Fluker and what the Raiders need to do to continue on the right path. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy.
All right, Lincoln, we didn't get a chance to really talk about it yesterday. I don't think we talked about it at all, or at least I didn't get your thoughts on it. But the Raiders signed DJ Fluker, veteran guard, has been a pretty high-quality player during his career. A little banged up right now. He got his knee cleaned up in late July this year. Watching him out on the practice field, it looks like he's still kind of, you know, working his way back into shape. But, you know, I think this is a signing that the Raiders made for a future payoff, potentially, even as whether it's just a reserve later on in the season, especially if you're starting to think about the playoffs and things like that, or potentially as an insurance just in case, you know, somebody goes down or somebody's not doing their job. What are your thoughts on DJ Fluker?
He's a guard, first and foremost. He's a guard.
He played tackle all last year.
Yeah, but let's not get it twisted. Yeah, look, the pedigree is there. I understand why they did it. He's from Alabama, former first round draft choice. I mean, I get it, but no, he's not a tackle. He's definitely a guard. You do this type of thing, one, because he's available, he's a veteran, he might be able to provide a little bit of stability and depth if you need somebody. It just shows me that you're probably not satisfied with Simmons or Luminor, so you probably want to get a backup. And even if you think about, you know, if Parker, because he's always had an issue with consistency, if Brandon Parker starts to struggle and you need to move Leatherwood back, then DJ would be a guy that you would probably put in probably before Luminor. That's why you make that type of sign. That's the only way it really makes sense to me. Because other than that, he's been banged up and he was coming off of a suspension, wasn't he?
That's why he what had happened was he gets the surgery and he was with the Miami Dolphins and they worked out a injury settlement. So
injury settlement,
and then I don't remember if he was suspended after that, or you know how that works. So long story short, he had to sit out six games on suspension, and now, you know, the suspension has been exhausted and the Raiders signed him, and we'll see if he can provide any help, or just like you talked about, insurance. But that looks like it's going to be a little bit down the road. I'm no doctor, but I'm just watching.
He's a big man. And then they have it listed at 340 something. No, he's not 340. He hasn't been 340 since he was in college. He's almost, he's a big guy. So he's got to get back in shape. And especially if he had a six game suspension, I think he's probably a biscuit away from 400, but I'm not great until I see him.
By the way, you know, we asked Josh Jacobs about DJ. Their paths didn't cross at Alabama, but they, right, you know, share the same alma mater. And Josh is like, that dude is a legend in Alabama. I kind of forgot how good he was in college, he was one of the great ones that played in that program. So we'll see. I think, as Lincoln and I have been talking about, though, I think first and foremost, the Raiders just need continuity right now on this offensive line. And, you know, you can't rule out still, because it's not been ruled out, but the possibility that maybe Richie Incognito can come back at some point and give them something. If he's healthy, Lincoln, and one of the last things that John Gruden told us on the Monday before he resigned was that, you know, Richie's getting better. And they were targeting the Giants game on November 7th after the bye week for a potential return. If, let's say it works out that he is healthy and he's ready to go in that Giants game, is he a guy that you just insert right back in the starting lineup?
Richie brings attitude. He brings aggressiveness. you know, I would be reluctant, depending on how they play up until that point, I would be reluctant to change anything because I just don't want to ruin the continuity or the flow. You know what I mean? Unless you have to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I would be reluctant to change anything, but I do know that Richie brings an attitude. And it was almost like what Kelechi Osemele did when he was playing and for Rodney Hudson and even Gabe Jackson. It was something about his presence, and Richie was in there the last couple of years. It was something about his presence that brought a little bit more of a physical anger side. I definitely saw it out of Colton Miller when Richie was next to him. I haven't seen it with Andre James because he wasn't there. But, you know, so that's definitely what Incognito brings to the board.
Well, we will see. And again, that's a story for another day. But, you know, we'll see if he can give him a lift, if he can give him some help. It's something that, you know, hey, even if it's for the last five games of the season and into the playoffs, if they're so fortunate to make that, they're all hands on deck at that point. Like they've said all along, trying to get your best 11 on the field at any given time. And, you know, if Richie is part of that, if at that point he's healthy enough to be one of the best 11 offensively, I think you get him out there. It's probably his last year, and John Simpson's not going anywhere. But I agree with you, too. You got to think about the continuity and all that as well. So, but we'll see. It may not even come to that. Who knows? Lincoln, thank you so much for this week. As usual, I will see you on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. See you Sunday. Devon Cotton, thanks for everything that you do. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to all our callers. We appreciate everything you guys do, and you're why we do this. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. We will see you tomorrow live at the Treasure Island Golden Circle Sportsbook from 4 to 6 p.m. I'll be out there. It's always a great scene, so if you're nearby, you know what I say. Come on by. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.